I'm at the Farm Progress Show, and with me I have Gene Hemphill. He represents our sponsor once again this year for coverage on Ag Wired of the show, and that is New Holland. And also with me is Tom Vary with the National Biodiesel Board. And we're going to talk about biodiesel a little bit here because, Gene, I understand that New Holland was like one of the first company of its kind to join with the Biodiesel Alliance, which we're going to learn a little bit more about from Tom. But tell me about your involvement with this organization.
Well, yes, the Alliance is, we were the first organization, of actually company of our type, that joined the Alliance. And the year after we joined it, we actually offered an incentive for people who could bring more people into the Alliance of getting a free use of a compact tractor for a year. So that was our involvement dates back really 20-some years. I was privileged to get an Innovation Award in 2007 for two decades of work that I've done with ever since they were calling it soy diesel. Mm-hmm. And back in my first work with it, with New Holland, was getting soy diesel into the engines of the tractors that were pulling people movers around the World Pork Expo. Then we joined the Alliance, and then some of our staff began joining the backers, which is much like the Alliance, except that the Alliance is more for companies like ours or our dealerships. We were the first company to warranty our engines for B20, and we are the first company to warranty our engines for B100. And so we had an active role in it. Of course, we can't warranty anything for over B100, so we had to find other ways we could still work with the biodiesel board.
You can't warranty B155, or let's say?
I'm not real good in arithmetic, but I think I could figure that one out. We decided we have encouraged our dealers in a publication that goes to them on a monthly basis. We have encouraged them to join the Alliance, the Biodiesel Alliance. It's free. It's very easy to join. You go onto the biodiesel site. And we encouraged our staff, our field staff, through that same publication to join the biodiesel backers. And the reason is that, number one, it shows the strength behind the support for biodiesel. We hope our dealers can jiggle the gauge a little bit. And it shows those who are observers of this industry that they do have a strong backing behind it. Plus, our dealers are the first line of people with the customers, and unfortunately, mm-hmm. there are people out there yet, very intelligent people, who still believe some of the myths about biodiesel. I've heard somebody say, even during this show here, I don't know why they're so big on biodiesel, because it takes more energy to make it than that you get from it. And of course, the figures coming out of Washington, I think, are
don't say that at all.
You know, 4.5 or something like that in the range of the energy you get back. So it's a way that we can still continue to work with the biodiesel board and give them our dealers and our staff a very valuable tool to separate the myth from the fact, keep up on, and sort of become involved with information and information sharing on that basis.
Yeah. Well, Tom, as we you're with the National Biodiesel Board, and when we talk about this alliance or the backers for that matter, I know you've got some history here. Tell me how this has developed and kind of where we're at right now.
Well, Chuck, we want to thank Gene and New Holland for their longtime support of the biodiesel industry, the National Biodiesel Board. They really were instrumental in kicking off this biodiesel backer and alliance network we have, which is an extremely effective tool that we use to communicate to our key stakeholders, and also they communicate back to us. Mm-hmm. So we like that two-way communication ability. We think it's very important to keep the backers and alliance members, our key stakeholders, informed on key issues mm-hmm. affecting the biodiesel industry.
So what right now would be the number one topics that you're having to deal with?
Well, the number one issue right now, Chuck, would be the proposed renewable fuel standard rule that EPA has put forth. They're looking for comments to the end of September. And what it is, it's the renewable fuel standard. The expanded renewable fuel standard would require a billion gallons of biomass diesel to be used by 2012, which that would pretty much be mostly biodiesel, which is a great thing. But they've put a threshold in there to participate in the renewable fuel standard of a 50% reduction in carbon emissions, which, according to DOE, now biodiesel, soy biodiesel, has 80% reduction. But EPA has come up a new way to do math, I guess, and they've layered on indirect land use issue onto measuring our carbon score. They're saying basically if we're growing soybeans here for biodiesel, that could increase the price. That could bring in more soybean production in Brazil. That could displace cattle in Brazil from those soybean acres up into the Amazon rainforest. You're going to chop down the rainforest, and you're going to burn those logs, and it's going to cause a CO2 plume. So it's a very long series of assumptions you have to make to get to that conclusion. Plus, they do a couple other things. They keep we're compared with petroleum, which gets a free pass. They don't have any indirect emissions to justify. They keep some of the other outlandish assumptions are that you have to. There's going to be no more soybean yield increases over the next 100 years. So obviously that's not correct. There's quite of other areas of flawed information that we're trying to work with the EPA to get cleared up that will allow feedstocks made with soybean oil or biodiesel made with soybean oil feedstocks to participate in the renewable fuel standard.
So this RFS2, as it's referred to, because I know we work with people on the ethanol side too that have some of the same concerns, especially on this indirect land use, which frankly, when you look at the models that go into that, almost defy logic or belief, because they are, as you said, based on futuristic assumptions that admittedly some of the modeling researchers that I've talked to, they're using some old data, production data. They're not taking into account increases in production, and there's just, it goes on and on. So it right. really, it is important then for soybean growers in particular, in this case, to make sure that they register their opinion and try to get that information through to EPA in this comment period, right?
You're exactly right, Chuck. We're asking farmers to go to biodiesel.org and click on the RFS2 Action Center. It's a big red banner on our homepage. Click that on and submit. We have prepared comments that they could look at, and it takes about 20 seconds to type in your name and email address, send it to EPA to let their voice be heard. We're trying to get 10,000 comments mm-hmm. in from the industry and from producers from all over the country. To show the EPA that we disagree with their proposed rule, and here's the information we like to include in that. What EPA is trying to do, our most efficient, they're trying to exclude our most efficient industry in this country, American agriculture, and participating in helping solving one of our most important problems we face, energy security. And if this rule stands, it could really limit ag production ag's ability to play a role in producing fuel for our country.
Well, you know, I can't quote you the modeling assumptions, but if you're going to put in this indirect land use thing, why not put in some credit for the fact that we won't be using oil imported from countries that don't like us, for example, you know?
That's a great question. I don't have an answer. We don't have a good answer from EPA, except they just kind of say, well, the act in the order from the legislation says we have to use 2005 petroleum baseline. Doesn't include indirect impacts. They just kind of shrugged their shoulders and say our hands are tied. I don't know. I think it's awfully convenient that was putting in the legislation like that. But, you know, what we're trying to do is now is to get all the comments we can into EPA. The RFS2 Action Center at biodiesel.org is the best thing listeners, your producers that are listening now can do. You don't have to be a producer, just an interested citizen. This is an issue that impacts all of us. So encourage them to go to biodiesel.org and put in their comment at the RFS2.
All right. Well, I want to thank you very much, Tom and Gene Hemphill as well from New Holland, who, again, as I've said before, is sponsoring our coverage of Farm Progress Show on AgWired. And from the show, I'm Chuck Zimmerman reporting.